Come on back in. I think I'm caught in Spider-Man's web here. Okay, there we go. We are in 2 Corinthians 9. We are in the midst of a series we've called What is the Church? And today I'm talking about everyone's favorite topic. The church is a place of giving. We've been doing a number of scripture studies through the Bible and looking at things that the scripture calls the church to be in the New Testament. And we've had a lot of great and some hard teachings in the last few months that have really, hopefully, I hope you felt what I felt, which is that the scripture's calling us to be more of a church that is a church of the Bible. And so today we're going to talk about giving. This sermon really isn't about giving, though. It's about the love of God. So tell your neighbor, it's about the love of God. And I really think that, whatever you might be thinking now. And so we're going to talk about those things. But as I've done each week, I begin with some signs because we're talking about what church is and what churches are and maybe what churches shouldn't be. And we see all sorts of interesting things communicated to us. And I found some good ones this time. So without further ado, the first one says, Friendship Church of Christ, ready or not, here I come, Jesus. It's a little judgy, but true. Yeah? I mean, it's true. It's the scripture. Christy read it this morning. So that's a good one, right? Are we thumbs up? We can vote. Let's vote. Are we? I think that's a thumbs up. All right. Number 2 of 6. I'm placing my bet on the man riding the donkey. I like that one. You guys like that? That's pretty good. I think that's a good one. All right, number 3. Oh, this is great. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Paul Myers, pastor. So you didn't laugh. So when I saw that, the first thing I thought was Paul's feeding everybody. But that is a verse in the psalm. It's, I think, Psalm 84. All right, that was lame. Next. When you have a problem, you need to go to the throne, not the phone. Everyone go to your screen time. What does it say? All right, no judgment. All right, number 5. Faith can move mountains, but don't be surprised when God hands you a shovel. Everyone drink that in a little bit. It's pretty true. Pretty true. Remember, I just heard this message from this crazy preacher, and he had everyone keep looking at their hands to see if they had any calluses on their hands. I think we have one more. Welcome, Sunday worship, 10:30. How will you escape? I think that's so funny. I guess they're talking about Revelation or something, right? Or who knows, but I wouldn't go to that church. How will you escape? We lock the doors, we poison the coffee, and you can't get out. Oh, I'm kidding. Oh, man, that's so funny. All right. Today is a message about the love of God. It's a message about giving, but it is more than that about the love of God. And I really think that. I'm not saying that to manipulate you. I actually love talking about giving for 2 reasons. Number one, there's more verses in Jesus' teaching than giving about any other subject other than the kingdom of God. Let me rephrase that. The thing Jesus talked about most was the kingdom of God, and the thing he talked about second topically, if you just take topics and put verses, was money. So what that tells me is that money is very important. And the other reason I like talking about money is because what I have found is usually when I talk about money, especially in the early days, I wasn't very good at it because, you know, when you start saying money and give your money, initially people think, and if you're new, yes, we do talk about this every Sunday. Every Sunday we talk about this, which isn't true. The last message I preached on giving was exactly a year ago, and my daughter is in kids' church this morning, and she always wants to know what we're going to be talking about. And I said, well, we're going to be talking about money and giving and generosity, and she's like, dang, I want to be there. And then she's like, well, you know, and she said, I remember your message last year. It was last fall. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah, the title was Warning to the Rich, That's You. And she remembered that. So I was like, did I say it like that? She said, no. But my point is that it's a big issue. It's a big issue. And that's why we see so much of it in the Bible. And I wonder if the reason it's so hard to talk about, and maybe it's hard for you and I to listen to, maybe that says something to us. If talking about money causes us to, because right now, like a lot of us already, you're already putting your justifications and your reasons, your explanations. And that's okay if you are. I pray that the Word of God and the love of God breaks through all of that. But I just say that to say that if it's a hard topic and we think, you know, this, who is, you know, what are we talking about this for? You know, that's all the church ever talks about. Then maybe there's a reason in our hearts. Maybe it is something that you've experienced some church abuse. And I would just tell you, if your last pastor had a helicopter and, you know, a Lamborghini and a lavish life, and you felt like, you know, it was embezzling the church and you felt like there was abuse and all that, like, I'm genuinely sorry on the behalf of the pastorate. That's abuse and it's wrong. But I'm going to tell you, most pastors aren't like that. And really, most churches aren't like that. Most churches are just trying to get by and doing so on the generous tithes of their people. So let's talk about the church being a place full of people that give. We're going to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians, talk very briefly about different types of giving we see in the Bible, and then end with a few practical ideas. Okay? Everybody okay? All right, I'm going to close my eyes and pray. If you want to leave now, no, I'm just kidding. Someone told me last week, they said, you say that a lot. You better be careful. Like, I might better be, or maybe not. But let's pray a blessing over the word. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today. So that's where we'll be, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence this morning among us. We thank you for all that you're doing, and there's so many things happening in this church right now that are great and that are heartbreaking. And in the middle of all of them, you have just shown yourself so much in the last few weeks here. We bless your presence, we bless your care for us, and we just say to you truly that we are thankful that you've included us in the family of God, that you've shown yourself so good to us, that you've provided for our needs, and you've gone above and beyond what we could even think and want and put joys and peace upon us. And we just, this morning, we say thank you. We return blessing to you that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would come and through this passage, you would teach us your heart that says that you love a cheerful giver. And may we feel, Lord, that I just pray second, we'd feel cheerful give, and first, we'd feel God loves. That would just move into the spirit and fabric of this church even more, and you would release us, Lord, to just fall, just free fall into you, into your care and your goodness, and live out of that above any other thing. So I pray, may the love of God just fall and fill this place in each of us now as we think about these things, and I pray for the grace to hear your word. And we ask you to teach us, Holy Spirit. Come. Come among us and teach us. We sit in our chairs. We are your students, Holy Spirit. And we say, speak. Your servant is listening. Speak what the Spirit would say to the church. We welcome you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, a passage that speaks, it's a really neat passage. We're going to read the verses 6 through 15 in 2 Corinthians 9. And it's a really neat passage that where Paul is talking about a number of churches in a region called the Macedonian region. And in the Macedonian region was a whole bunch of different churches, the Church of Berea, Philippi, Thessalonica. And they were known, without going into the context, chapter 8 really tells us in chapter 9 that these churches were just known for being incredibly generous. They helped plant other churches, they helped care for the poor, they helped support missionaries, on and on and on. And so the context of what we're reading is that Paul is just saying that the generosity of these churches is just such a great example that he says to all Christians and those in Corinth, to look at this and learn from this. And, you know, before we talk about giving and even read the passage, I just want to ask you, now, don't turn off right now, okay? Some of us, you might turn off because you're like, oh, I give, so I have nothing to get from this. And like, get the love of God from it. Get generosity from it.
Others of us, maybe this is a challenge and something we don't ever really think about. And I would, you know, I'd encourage you, just like, be real careful about that. You know, I had someone tell me recently, they said, I don't give to the church. My tithe is doing lawn work at the church. And I thought, no, that's your excuse for not giving to the church. That person is no longer here. My tithe is serving in kids' church. My tithe is doing lawn work. And it's like, no, that's your excuse for not giving of your money because you love your money. You doing lawn work for the church is you doing lawn work for the church. That's separate from our money. So you feel there's a prick that happens when we start talking about our wallets. Billy Graham said that the Christian has two conversions. One is the soul, and the second is the pocketbook. And I've learned that to be true when talking about money. And so, you know, and I would just challenge you, if this is something that you think, you know, this isn't really important or it's not important here, you know, a question that I encourage people is like, where do you think all this comes from? Like, all this that we're benefiting from, and, you know, it doesn't just materialize. You know, and if my attitude, and I was this way once when I started as a Christian, I didn't give until I was told by somebody that, like, this is something to do, and I didn't just do it because I thought I should do it. I did it because something happened in my heart, and I thought, the fact that I don't want to let my money go is telling me something about my money. And, you know, if everyone thought like I did, or maybe you do, and thought, well, someone else will take care of it, or I'm going to, you know, I'll do lawn work, and that's my tithe, or I'll, you know, whatever. If everyone thought that way, there'd be no church. There'd be nobody to support the church. Am I making sense? So we have to really be very careful with the way that we think about that. And having said that, let's look at chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. And Paul says this, "Now then I say, but he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he's purposed in his heart, not begrudgingly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many in thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by the ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. And while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." So again, the context of Paul saying all those things is he's talking about just how generous that many have been, and he's spurring us on using just so many beautiful words that he did there to be generous people. So we're going to go back through this passage, and I want to share a few things that are practical, but just very quickly, I want to talk about three types of giving we see in the Bible: the tithe, the special offering, and generosity. The tithe, meaning tenth. What is the church? It's a place of giving. It's a place where we come. And in the scripture, we actually don't have the command to give the tithe in the Old Testament. Did you know that? You're thinking, wait a minute, I thought the Old Testament said to tithe. Well, it does, but before the law and the command was even given, we had a pre-law example of tithing through someone named Melchizedek. You might remember the king of Salem. And this example was given with Abraham, where he learned about the trust of God, dot, dot, dot. And that was really the first appearance of the tithe in the Bible. And then from there, the Old Testament, they said, give a tenth of your first, of your gross, to the temple, to the tabernacle, whatever construct it was. And it typically did a number of things that to take care of things. Number one, it took care of the temple, their building. Taking care of this, paying for the lights, the coffee, etc. The second thing it did is it took care of the priests. The priests were people that, I'm going to tell you a sentence now, exchanged their ability to earn for themselves and rather trusted that God and the people would take care of their needs. And then the third thing it did was it took care of the poor. And that's what the tithe was. And the tithe we see going on in the New Testament, it was very much spoken of and approved. Jesus certainly approved of. And in fact, he said, don't stop there. Like, give all of yourself. And just to illustrate tithe, as I often like to do, I like to give some things away and try to illustrate what tithe means, tenth. The word tithe means tenth. So what I need is I need someone that fits two criteria. Number one, you have to like chocolate. Okay? And number two, you need to be able to receive a gift without apologizing and just with thanks only. I'm going to pick someone I've never picked, and that's Penelope. Penelope, come on up. Let's give her a hand. Now, Penelope, would you stand in front with me? I like people who can receive gifts. That's a cool hat, too. Look at that. That is epic. Now, I like chocolate, and I recently discovered a new flavor of chocolate. Has anyone tried Tony Chocolonely? I know Juan has. This, I'm going to tell you, I've had chocolates from Europe, and they're really good, and American chocolate typically is not good. But I discovered this about a year ago, and it is really good. So go get some. It's called Tony's Chocolonely. And they have all these flavors, okay? There's dark pretzel chocolate toffee, dark chocolate, sea salt almond, chocolate pretzel coffee toffee, everything. I know, chocolate honey almond, chocolate caramel and sea salt, chocolate hazelnut milk chocolate, and white chocolate. So this is an illustration of the tithe, okay? All right, are you ready? All right. I'd like to give you this chocolate bar. Will you receive it?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Penelope, I'd like to give you this chocolate bar.
Thank you.
You're welcome. These are big, too. Aren't they heavy?
Yeah.
That's like thick. I would also like to give you this one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like this one? Can I give you this?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. This one looks good, too. Can I give you this? You're very welcome.
Wow, that was a good
player. Spider-Man. Can I give you this one?
Yes, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. You're doing great. This is pretzel. That's good. Don't share this one. Can I give you this?
Yeah.
All right. This is really good. Can I give you this? Can I give you this dark?
Thank you.
This is another good one. Can I give you this chocolate pretzel? I got two of those. You're welcome. Now hold those and show everyone your chocolate. Now, for the purpose of illustration, can I have one of those back?
Yeah.
Can I have that pretzel one, actually? That's my favorite. There's another pretzel. I bought two pretzel because I knew I was going to do this. We both get a pretzel. All right, I'd like you to keep the rest of those and do whatever you want with them. Would you do that? All right, God bless you. Now, parents, sorry. I gave their young son Joseph a harmonica about 3 weeks ago, and Spencer looked at me and he goes, I hate you right now. So, back to the illustration. We were given 100%. And then the Lord says, I would like you to take the first tenth of that and return it, and then keep the other 90 for whatever you need to do. How does that feel? And so, you know, it probably hurt her to give this away, maybe. But in context, it didn't, did it? In context of all this was given to you, right? And then it becomes a lot easier to say, well, then I'll gladly give back. And that's the tithe. I mean, I'd encourage, for some of you guys right now, you're like, dang. And I would just encourage you, if tithing's not something you've ever done, and it might seem like a big sacrifice. Like, for some of us, tithing's like, hundreds or maybe thousands of dollars a month. You know, and a tithe is different than saying I'm going to throw in like a little bit. You know, it's taking all my income, that's all my income that's reported to the IRS, because the IRS, you know, God knows what the IRS has to, you know. It's not, he's not hiding and saying, I'm going to, from that, it's because it's my best, right? It's my first and my best. I'm not fooling God by like just, you know, picking something that's just sort of convenient for me. And then saying to the Lord, this is a real sacrifice. This is a real chunk of money. But I really believe in you, and I really love the kingdom of God, and I want to give myself to it. And so that's what a tithe is, and I'm going to have this for my dessert later. The second type of giving in the Bible is the special offering. You've probably heard tithes and offerings. Have you heard that? It's time for tithes and offerings. Well, what is that? Well, you have the tithe, which is one chocolate bar, and then you have the offering. The offering is above and beyond the tithe. And in the Bible, there's a lot of places where people would give special offerings to things, for sometimes for the poor, for a church, to construct the tabernacle, to construct the temple, mission work, etc. And so a special offering is another type of giving. We have one coming up in November that we're going to be giving toward that and compassion ministry in this church. And that's just an offering that goes above and beyond the regular tithe, where we just say, I just want to give more. And then the third one is generosity. And I would encourage you to be a generous person. And don't let generosity be an excuse for not doing the first two. I really feel like these are kind of in order. Like, start with the tithe, amen, and then get generous beyond the tithe, and then just be a generous person. And I wrote down a few examples. Giving to random needs of those who are poor in poverty. I think large tips are really appropriate. Giving large 30, 40, 50%, 100% tips. Try that. See what happens and tell the person, Jesus loves you. Here's $30 or whatever whatever it is. Taking someone a meal, paying someone's power bill, buying them an airline ticket, buying them a car. These are all things I've seen happen in this church. And it's just generosity. It's just saying, I'm wanting to share. So those are three types of giving. And now let's go back to our passage. I'm going to share with you for the second half here a few practical applications of giving that pleases God. And the first one is give bountifully, not sparingly. Now, some of you guys are still thinking about how cute the chocolate joke was, okay? And I need to say this. Don't let that get in the way, because there's meat in there. The meat is, I want you to think about this. And the church doesn't need your money. It's never needed your money. It's never needed my money. It's about our soul getting right with God and saying, this thing that really is hard for me to give away, I'm going to give away. And I'm not going to worry about where it goes. I'm going to trust in God who gave it to me first to give it back. So how do we do that? The first practical application from verse 6, give bountifully, not sparingly. So he says this right here. I have this underlined in my Bible. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Oh, Lord, don't let that be me. I don't want that for my life. Do you want to get back from God sparingly? No. But here's the happy part. He who sows bountifully, and he's talking about money. He's not talking about working in the church backyard. I do appreciate everyone that works in the church backyard, by the way. I'm there with you. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So in other words, what we put in is going to come back to us. If it's a little, it's probably going to just be a little. If it's a lot, it might be a lot. And giving freely, not begrudgingly, giving freely, not begrudgingly. I say this often, and I'll say it again. This is something for couples to have the hard talk and get it in the light and talk about it. You know, it's really important. I've told you guys this many times. My wife's in kids' church today, but she grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and she just loved they'd sing a hymn when they passed the thing around, like a golden platter. You guys ever seen those? It's like extra holy, you know? It was like a thing. It was like part of their liturgy that was just rich and beautiful, and they would sing a hymn, and they'd pass it around, and they'd give their money. And so as a little girl, she just grew up learning from her parents, like a good Baptist, like, give, you know, give, and give your cents, give of your allowance, give of your lemonade stand money. And so she just, you know, the physical act is when we got married, and when I was sitting in the pew, she would always want to take the check and put it, you know, she just like, I like the feeling of putting that in there. I feel like I'm doing something. And so, you know, just it being a thing that, you know, for us, we just started early and we just had a discussion of like, we're going to give a tenth of our gross to the church forever. And beyond that, when we see needs. And I'll tell you, like, it just will bless you. You if you do that sparingly, I think you might be blessed sparingly, and you're probably going to worry about money a lot. If you are bountiful, you will be blessed bountifully. And I don't even think the blessing is in physical money, but something happens, and Malachi talks about this. The devourer of your money runs away from you when you're generous because he has nothing to take from you because your hands are like this. And that idea of needing to care for yourself and worry and worry and worry really does leave you. That's what we've found. And so, you know, it's I just would encourage you, and he says this at the beginning, like, don't be a sparing person. Be a bountiful person. And, you know, I had this conversation with somebody recently. We were talking about this, and the person said, I don't do that. I couldn't do that. And I said, well, you know, why not? And you know, the person kind of looked at me, and I said, do you think it might be because you love your money? And he said, I need to think about that. You know, maybe we love our money. And Jesus is very clear in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, it shows where your heart is. So this really is, we want to be people. I mean, do you want to be a stingy Christian, or do you want to be like a generous Christian? You know, what are we marked by? And God sees all that. And so I would encourage you, and, you know, some of us right now are thinking, why, you know, you don't know what I'm paying for. And like, I know, I raised four kids. I know what it's like, you know, I know what it's like. It's hard, and there's never enough. And God, by the way, unless you, like, make a lot of money, there's never going to be enough. It's just how it is. Tell your neighbor, there's just never going to be enough. There's not. But here's the thing. We can live in a way because we trust God that we don't have to worry about it. So give bountifully, not sparingly. Next, going to verse 7, give cheerfully and experience the pleasure of God. Give cheerfully and experience the pleasure of God. And so he says here, do what's purposed in your heart, not out of a grudge, not under compulsion, but do it because you know that God loves a cheerful giver. And this is it's just a super, super important. And, you know, back to what I was saying about marriages, this is really important. I just want to encourage you husbands, heads of the household especially. Wives too, though. Like, when my wife, let's just put it the other way. When I can see my wife take the $300 she got for her birthday from her meemaw and give it to someone who is broke, that tells me she trusts God, and then I can trust her. You see the flow there? And this is how it works in a marriage and a family. If a husband or a wife or both can do this and say, we trust God, it then allows us to trust each other. My wife trusts me because she sees me sitting reading this. Okay? When we have conversations of we're going to do this with our money and try to bless this person, she knows and I know that she believes that our money is now trusted to the kingdom of God for the Lord to use at his disposal. And that brings a covering over you. It really does. It brings a trust and a health in your marriage that you know unified with money, the love of which is the root of all kinds of evil. When you take that thing together, and these are conversations to have, to say, let's do this with this $100. Let's do this with this $20. Let's do this with this $1,000. And say, let's together do this and love and worship God. And you see the opposite of that in Acts chapter 5. Does anyone remember Ananias and Sapphira? They did the opposite. They kind of were, no one knew what was happening, and they were both lying, and it didn't end well for them. So giving cheerfully and experiencing the pleasure of God. We love because he what? I wonder if we could just flip that a little bit and say, we give because he first gave us 10 bars of chocolate. I love what David says in 1 Chronicles. I'm going to read this short passage to you. This is after they raised money for the temple that Solomon built. And this is a beautiful prayer that David says. It says, David blessed the Lord in the sight of the assembly. This is just after the offering. David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Now, God, this is a special offering, and this is his prayer. Yours is the greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth, all of it is yours. It's your dominion, O Lord. You exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over everything, and it's in your hand to have power and might, and it lies in your hand to make a man great and strengthen us. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I and who are these people that we should be able to offer an offering as generously as this to you? Because everything first came from you, and it's only from what your hand gave us that we gave back to you. We are just wanderers on this earth before you, tenants, just like our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow. O Lord, all the abundance we've provided to build a temple for your holy name, it's all from your hand, and all of it is yours. Do you see what he's doing? He's realizing that God gave me all this chocolate. And just to be able to give something back to see the kingdom grow and build is our great honor. So give cheerfully. Do you see the difference there? The cheer in his heart as he's giving and what we're told, Paul's model, give cheerfully. And we're going to come back to that in the end in a few minutes. Next thing is giving acknowledges our, and grows our trust in God's provision. I kind of talked about that with marriage. But giving acknowledges and it grows our trust in God's provision. Guys, look at verse 8 with me. Let's just look at some of these words. Look at the trust and the words that we have here. In verse 8, he says grace. He's talking about money, and he says God is able to make grace abound to you. Then he uses the word sufficiency. Then he uses the word scattered in verse 9. God scattered. He generously scattered gifts to you. In verse 10, he says God supplies. In verse 10, he says God multiplies and increases. And then in verse 11, he says God enriches you. And this is how God treats us. And so we're acknowledging your life and my life have experienced these things. I'm going to read the words again. It's experienced grace, sufficiency. God has scattered. He's supplied. He's multiplied upon us. He's increased upon us, and he's enriched us. And so when we give, we're acknowledging, we're looking at this description here in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, and we're saying, wow, these are things you have done for me. And I just am so grateful. You know, like, do you ever think about the gift of smelling? Did you ever smell something good? Can you imagine what it'd be like not to smell? Did you ever hear something beautiful, like a cricket? Like, we have these red-winged blackbirds in our backyard. They were migrating Friday. We had an hour to sit before we had to run off and do things. And so my wife and I were sitting, and these blackbirds, they were migrating from my neighbor James's yard, and they migrated right over here, and they sat in our yard for the longest time, like 10 minutes, and they sound like this. They were just super loud. And then they migrated from here over to my neighbor Wendy's yard, and it was just beautiful. And there was just dozens of them. They're just black with these red tips. It was gorgeous. Just listening. All the things we have, guys, all the gifts that you have, they're gifts from God that God has generously said, I'm giving all these things to you. And so for us, when we give, we're just acknowledging that he first gave back to us, and he had enabled us to do this. I was sitting in my hammock a few weeks ago, just looking up at the woods, and you ever do that? You ever lay on the ground and just look up at trees? If you don't, you should. It was Ignatius of Loyola. He's one of my heroes, the founder of the Jesuit faith. He says in one of his writings, he said, I would just sit sometimes for hours and stare at the sky. Well, Lord, I can't do that because I have stare at this for hours, right? So I'm trying to force myself to do that more. And I was just sitting in my hammock looking up, you know, just like withdrawals from not having the phone in my pocket, you know. Can anyone relate? You know, I'm really trying to work on just leave it for hours at a time. And the more you just disconnect and you just connect with God, you just start realizing my life is so good. Yeah, we've all been through some hard things, haven't we? But I have been so blessed by God and his provision for me. And so the end of this, Paul says, and my final point here, is that giving blesses other people. And so if we're doing anything, like if anything comes from this, there's this incredible gift of being able, in verse 12, he says, overflowing onto other people. Overflowing, blessing other people, loving my neighbor as I love myself. Proof that I love the Lord. And I would just say, your giving is blessing other people. Like, what do you like about this church? Anybody, tell one thing you like about this church. The love that's here. The people. Anything else? Community. The bonds that people have. Music. Judgment free.
Chocolate.
Support.
Hospitality.
Pastor Jeff, thank you. Anything else? What? Coffee? Free coffee is good too. Homegrown, home ground. Yeah. Yeah. Blue Creamer. Come on, folks. The Field. The Kids Church. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They're amazing. They're amazing teaching our kids. And I just would say to you, that all is lovely stuff. All of that costs something. Did you know that? It all costs something. None of that, it could be elsewhere, but we wouldn't have the thing we call Vineyard Community Church if somebody, somewhere, in the last 25 years had not said, I will cheerfully give so that we can create a place for this thing to happen. It's just the reality of it. So for me, when I give, there's a tremendous sense of joy and ownership, and I think the good kind of pride where I can just say, wow, like I'm giving to something that's like really, I get to see Illa, and I get to see Ron and Zoe, and I get to see Bill and Christy, and I get to see Christina, and like I get to see new babies come and marriages, and I get to walk through heartache with people. And I get to do that because when I give of my first and best, I'm helping support this beautiful thing that God is able to work through. Let me end with this. I said at the beginning this message was about the love of God, and I really believe that it is more than anything. And I wrote this out. I'm just going to read this to you. My life, if anything, has been largely characterized by being held by God. In his love, I have learned to become calm and safe. I've become at ease with myself and able to trust God and trust others as he's held me. When I think of money or giving anything, or even giving my very life away, if I was called to, it always comes back to that, from that place of being held by God. Any offering to God then is easy because it's done from a place of absolute security and trust in his sweet love resting on me. You'll do anything for someone you love truly, and you'll do it very willingly. And we read this morning that God loves a cheerful giver. And I would say that there's like a circle there. When we give, we experience the love of God because his love, he loves when we're giving people. And there's this circle then of experiencing the love of God. And I was thinking this morning about my daughter who I remember when she was a little girl. I was telling her this story the other day and I thought I would just duplicate it to you. So I got this little blanket to kind of pretend this was her. So we were talking the other day, and I was just telling her, you know, she always has these questions about when she was little, and some of you guys know she was very sick when she was younger, and she didn't eat for 9 years. She was fed on a machine for 9 years, and she had some serious neurological conditions that she's still working through. But such that for a long time, for a year or two, she made no eye contact or verbal communication with us, and she knows all this, and that's a heartbreaking thing, you know. If you look at the family pictures from those couple of years, and we're all smiling, and she's like over here looking at a carpet, And the Lord broke through things with that, and then she had a really severe GERD reflux, so she vomited 10 or 12 times a day, like for about 2 years. And I mean that. That's not an exaggeration. It's just, there were 2 years or so my wife could not come to church. People thought I was a single pastor or that I was a widower because my wife couldn't come to church because she'd come and Abby would vomit. And she was on a feeding tube and machine, and for 9 years we went through that. And so has anyone ever had GERD, esophageal reflux? It's incredibly painful. It's where all your food just comes out. Your stomach is dysmotility. And so then what happens is all the stomach acid burns your throat. And so then you don't want to try to eat because your throat is raw all the time. Some of you guys are nodding your head. You've been through this. It's a horrible, horrible condition. Thank goodness it's very rare. And so that was what happened to her. And then from that she developed, not only did her stomach not work, but she developed a feeding aversion because of the pain associated with eating. So that all led to 9 years on a feeding machine. Praise the Lord. He got her through all that, and she's back there teaching the Bible right now to your kids. What? When she was about 8 or 9 months after the first couple surgeries, she just screamed all the time. Colic plus reflux. And I would hold her. You know how kids are? They scream as long as you're comfortable. And then when you get comfortable, when you get uncomfortable, they stop screaming. Well, that's what I found. And so I would hold her, and this is right when the LOTR movies came out, Lord of the Rings. You remember when the dwarves were going through the mines of Moria? Remember their songs? You guys remember all that? And so I would, take Abby, and I found that if I held her right here, on my chest, right under my vocal cords, and if I would hold her, and as long as I would just walk around and go, she would go from, wah, 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 and she'd stop. And I figured it out. What it was the sound waves going through her body. Like it distracted her enough from the pain. And there was a good chunk of about a year, and my wife would joke, she'd call it March of the Dwarves. So I'd be up at midnight just walking around the house going, carrying her, and she'd stop screaming. Sometimes she'd look up at me. I was telling her that story the other day, and so when you're held by the Father, you realize everything's going to be all right. Did you know that? When the Father holds you, and you feel the love and the breath and the presence of the Father more near to you than even your own pain and fear and heartbreak and worry and anxiety, it frees us. It frees us then to trust and become completely silent. And this message is about the love of God, because what I've found when it comes to money or really giving anything away, my body, my talents, my money, whatever, if we are able to tap in to the love of the Father who is holding us always, you'll give anything, guys. You'll do anything. There is no cost you won't pay. There is no sacrifice you won't offer then when you experience that, because it calms you and it lets you know this is what you are made for, and everything else really is easy. And that includes giving our money. It includes doing something you don't want to do, hard service, pushing through a hard marriage, whatever it is. So this sermon is about giving, but I would just hope that you would also hear that it's about the love of God. And if I could say one thing on my gravestone, it would be this: let God love you. Spend your life letting Him love you. He is trying. And the more we can receive that, guys, everything Everything flows from that. Everything. Everything flows from letting God love on you and walking in his love and walking it out. Giving your money is easy. When you're prepared to give your life for God, giving your money becomes very, very easy. You hear what I'm saying? And that is what we're called to do. But it's not an obligation thing. It's not a, you know, we're somehow repaying him. It's, you've given me so, so much. And out of that, I gladly say, here's my life. Do whatever you want to do with it. So let's be a church of giving. I want to commend you guys. There are so many tragedies. I made a note on my phone the other day. There's like 7 tragedies that have worked their way through this church in the last 2 weeks. And I have seen this church come together in such a beautiful, beautiful way and take care of each other. Guys, good job. Great, great job. Great job. It's healthy and it's beautiful. Amen. Let's stand. Some of you guys have a screaming child, and now you have a new trick. What happened at church today? I don't know what the man talked about, but I know how to get my kid quiet. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your lavish goodness to us. I pray that as we go into today, whether it rains or not, we look to you for our provision, and we're so thankful. May we walk slowly, may we be quiet in your love, may we rest in you. And Father, I do pray that you would multiply and increase giving, financial giving, commitment, serving one another in this church, that we could be girded up to do the next things that you would call us to do. But moreover, beyond that, Father, I pray that a sense of your love and care would multiply here, and that we would truly trust in you and walk in your love, expressing that to one another as we go out of here. Bless our meal and picnic today, and whatever we end up doing, we go in your peace and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, no ministry time today. If you want ministry time, find a person and get prayer, and I hope to see everybody. We will be out picnicking in the field or in the building if it's raining. Bless you. Peace.